The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
All right, hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 12 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Cystic Fibrosis Siblings.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Making It Matter, a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julia, our guest, and I all have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis and Vertex Pharmaceuticals, so big thanks to them.
Thank you. Thank you. And we have a guest. Gunnar said it. We have our first guest, and he is also our Making It Matter of the week. It's my big brother and one of my best friends, Will Schlechter. Welcome to the show. Say hello.
Hey, Julia. Hey, Gunnar.
Will, thanks for joining us today. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, how old you are, when you started taking over your CF, and what you're doing with yourself right now.
I'm 26 years old, diagnosed as a little guy, just about 2 years old, and have been battling CF alongside Julia for the last 24 years or so. Own a little gym in the suburbs of Philly called Willpower, and just kind of training for the...
That's an awesome clever day for a gym.
thank you. And so operating that, training for the NYC Marathon as a part of Team Boomer, and that's where we're at here.
Cool. So you and Julie are both going to be running for the New York City Marathon in the coming month here. So good luck to both of you. I think you're both crazy. Will, is this your first marathon? I know it's Julia's first.
This is my first marathon. Yes.
Now, what inspired you guys to take on this endeavor?
Julia inspired me to do this one. I've done a few long races before, a few half marathons, and Julia asked me about joining Team Boomer for the New York City Marathon last year, and I thought about it and finally decided to. As someone who works in fitness and trains hard, trains often, I wasn't looking so much at the challenge of the marathon, but more so as more of a private person with my CF mm-hmm. journey and care, looking at the challenge of becoming public with those same things. So mm-hmm. Julia, as you know, as I'm sure much of the audience knows, is a great example of being public with how to take care of managing cystic fibrosis, but also spreading the same message to other people. So decided to follow suit with Julia and challenge myself to get a little bit out of my comfort zone and get ready for the New York City Marathon and join Team Boomer.
You guys have a little sibling rivalry going with this at all?
Not so much with finishing times, we do not. I think we're both just setting that aside and going for a good day of running, hoping for some good weather and good energy from the city to carry us to the finish line at whatever our respective times may be.
Yes, because I'll make everyone aware, Will will be finishing far ahead of me. He will be fully cooled down by the time I cross the finish line, and I'm okay with that. he'll be like sipping a beer. I'll be still sweating out miles 20 through 6.
Well, that's definitely an incredible feat. Obviously, Will, with you being in fitness, it's a pretty unique profession for someone with cystic fibrosis. It's definitely something that not very many people will see if like take the time to really get into. Obviously, there's a lot of limitations for people with cystic fibrosis, and I think that it's important for people to get out there and train hard, whether it's a marathon or even just walking around the block or something of that nature. So, I mean, can you talk about that? How did you get into the profession of being a gym owner?
So yeah, that all started in my late teens or around when I was 20 years old. I was headed in the direction of working in kitchens and culinary arts for the rest of my life. That was something I'd enjoyed doing as a job in high school. And right around 20 years old, I started getting frustrated with the longer hours and having less and less opportunity to take care of myself, focus on my health, and begin to think about a change of careers. But, really just putting myself first, putting my care first, I should say, and my health. One of the first things I did was actually got into running around that time and ran a couple half marathons. Those were fun challenges at the time, and it just kind of led me to meet more people, try some new things, get into ultimately strength training, and what I specialize in now is Russian kettlebell training, all in a very short period of time, and began to look for opportunities to make that a career so I could share with other people what I was experiencing and getting out of physical training for myself.
Yeah, and I think I've watched him grow as a teacher in this profession, and now it's cool to kind of see you bring it into the CF world as you run for CF too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think prior to that point, I was really kind of meeting my CF where it was, and it was a comfortable thing to do for most of my life, to kind of say, yeah, I can be active, but I have CF, and maybe not so much, always a limitation, but just a bit of a ceiling. And then around that time when I completed my first half marathon, that kind of shattered that ceiling. And then I looked for another challenge. And now I really think about finding opportunities to push myself out of my comfort zone. And that's really changed, not just the physical side of being healthier, having a healthier heart and lungs from exercise and staying strong, but also from the psychological side. I think there are a lot of valuable lessons in training the body physically that can carry over into some of the more demanding psychological and emotional sides of dealing with CF or any chronic illness, whether it's, getting up in the morning and getting your treatment done, or getting up in the morning or going for a run. You're dealing with training this, the same mechanism, the same
willpower,
attitude, willpower. There's a pretty cool gym near Philadelphia by that name.
It's an unbelievable name. No, I totally agree with you. I think exercise definitely has a lot of major benefits as far as mind and body go, especially with cystic fibrosis, as we found that people who are active, physically active, who exercise, who work out as much as they can, they're definitely pretty successful patients with CF. And I also know that, for people like me and other patients out there, that exercise is a major, major form of release from the stress that comes along with cystic fibrosis.
Absolutely. Definitely. It's the most important part of my day, I think, because I view treatment and exercise as one and the same. So for me, training is dependent on managing my CF, and managing my CF is just as dependent on my training, it feels anymore. Or I feel my lungs improving from pushing myself a little harder each time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now you guys are also unique in the sense that you guys are siblings with cystic fibrosis. It's not unheard of. It can obviously happen. So why don't you guys talk about that? That's obviously something I have I can't even comprehend what that might even be like.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was growing up, because Will was my big brother and we would do treatments together, it took me a while to realize that not everyone had CF and everyone wasn't doing the best. I thought everyone did that. My friends, when they would leave, I thought that's what they were going to do too. So that, I think, kept me in this little bubble of, I'm not different from anyone else. And we would get our treatments done, I think, so religiously as young kids because we had each other. And we had a really cool rule that my parents set in place, even for my oldest brother that does not have CF, which is we were not allowed to be playing video games or watching television unless one of us, Will or myself, were hooked up to treatment. So not only were...
You got a lot of extra therapy done every Madden release.
Yeah.
A couple of extra therapy sessions a day.
Yeah, and our oldest brother would beg us to do therapy. Come on, guys.
That's actually a really great way of doing it. I mean, I think it's a really important thing for parents to normalize the treatments in any way possible. And that's actually a really great strategy. The way my parents did it was they made sure that I was never alone. They always made sure someone was in the room with me when I was doing treatment. So you guys obviously had, you guys had each other. I had my younger sister, and then I also, they always like invited my friends to join in with me and things like that. It even got to the point when I was in college, my friends wanted to try the vest on and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
we even
for a while told my mom that the timer broke on the thing, but really we would just let it go and go because we wanted to keep playing.
Hang out, yeah.
That's actually a hilarious little tidbit. That's awesome. I think it's as far as being siblings with CF goes, you know, obviously we, Julie and I, have touched on the idea of cross infection, things like that. You know, what kind of steps did you guys take to really keep yourself safe when someone was sick or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I've been hospitalized, I think, quite a bit more than Will has. Chalk it up to his physical fitness. But he does not visit me in the hospital, and we figure out ways to, you know, we're very close, I think, because we have, beyond the sister-brother bond, the CF bond. So that's difficult but important, because being in the hospital is the worst place for either of us. So we shouldn't visit each other when we're there. So that's a measure that I think is necessary, as hard as it may be. And then as far as just making sure that we're staying on top of treatments, and if we're not culturing the same bacteria, being aware of that. You know, our monthly visits to our doctors were always the same time when we were growing up and in the same household, so that we could monitor that. So, but again, cross infection is so important, and I think it's a difficult thing to balance as siblings with CF, but an important one nonetheless.
Yeah, I think now it's a lot about comparing notes, because we live further away from each other, but we're brother and sister. So then we come together, you know, and we're staying at our parents' place or something like that, close together. And we have to kind of give each other a heads up where we're at and check in periodically to make sure that our interaction, our time together is healthy and a good idea for both of us.
So I have to imagine that when one of you have a cold at a family gathering or something like that, that's obviously in the family group text or something of that nature.
For sure. I mean, we keep a distance when it's necessary. And in fact, last Christmas, I actually skipped both of our family Christmas parties, my mom and my dad's side, because I was not well. And it just didn't make sense to be in the presence of little kids that could also be carrying something else, and B, bring whatever I have to the table, literally and figuratively.
we for sure
keep tabs on all of that, which I think is important for parents out there to realize too. It's a tough aspect if you're raising two or more children with CF, but it's an important one to keep in mind.
Yeah, and it's an important point that, you know, Julia is making there about the rest of the family going to other parties too, because, you know, first and foremost on our minds is, you know, one another with our infection control, but our family, our parents, and our older brother are both naturally very good from 20 plus years of dealing with this, at being self-aware of their own, you know, infections they might be dealing with, or fighting off a cold, anything of that nature. So we're lucky to have a good support system like that. And I, you know, encourage everyone to make sure they're doing the same for whether it's someone they know with CF or someone who's dealing with CF and needs to feel comfortable making other people aware of the importance of infection control.
Yeah. Gunnar and I did a podcast on the flu shot, and I'll never forget my dad once when he got the flu shot. He said that the doctor was surprised that he got his flu shot every year, because not everyone does. And my dad said, well, I have two children with CF, and that made perfect sense to his doctor. Cause my dad had our best interests at heart. So I think that's important too for families, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bottom line at the end of the day is really, just general awareness of your surroundings. You know, it's obviously, we don't want to live in a bubble here. And I think you two are definitely shining examples of that by running a marathon in 2 weeks, but, and especially you owning a gym, because I mean, gyms are, as we all know, they can be, you know, harboring grounds for all sorts of crazy stuff. So, you know, I think, I think at the end of the day, awareness and general perspective of what's going on around us and things of that nature are probably what the bottom line is at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, we'll sort of wrap this up here. I want to come back to the marathon real quick. Obviously, you two both have fundraising pages for Team Boomer.
Yes, we do.
So what I'll do is I'll add those to the write-up or the show notes here at the bottom of the podcast. Definitely check those out. Obviously, the money all goes to the same place. While there may be no competition on the racetrack, I can tell from talking to both of them before we started recording this afternoon that there's definitely some sort of competition in who's raising more money. So so definitely make a choice to see who you like better. and then support that sibling. That's or support both of them equally. At the end of the day, it all goes to the same place. But there has to be a winner. I look back to the point where my sister and I actually we took a college class together. My sister and I, we went to the same school for 16, 17 years, and we realized that we had never taken a class together, so we did it my senior year. And we didn't say we were competing with each other, but that's what was happening. So I definitely know that the brother sister rivalry is 100% there. When it comes down,
I didn't know we were competing until he texted me and said, "I beat you," and I was like, "What?"
the competition is there, and the rivalry is alive and well. After talking to you guys for 25 minutes just now, I can tell it's there. So definitely check out their post at the bottom, and then Will, do you have anything else you want to tell to our listeners?
Absolutely. I would encourage anyone, whether it's cystic fibrosis or anything else you might be dealing with, to always look at a physical option. Again, not just for a way of enhancing your physical care with the disease, but really as both a coping mechanism, as a networking tool to grow your social. Kind of your community of people that support you. A lot of times you can find that in athletics and sometimes, and I think I touched on this earlier, but we may meet ourselves where we are, especially if we're dealing with cystic fibrosis. And when things get tough, it's important to know, how to push through responsibly, not neglect your health in the interest of a goal, but to make yourself a little uncomfortable from time to time and really explore your potential. I think there's a lot to be gained from that. So more power to anyone who picks up that cause, and hope to see everybody joining in that movement. So
absolutely. Well, Will, thanks for joining us. It's a great message to give to the listeners. It's definitely important. I coach high school hockey, so I always tell my guys to find their limit and see how much further they can push themselves on a daily basis. So I definitely try to take that message to heart in my life every day. I'm sure Julia does, especially with Julia running a marathon in two weeks here. That limit is going to be pushed to the brink.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So good luck to both of you guys. Obviously, remember to check out their fundraising pages. I'm not joining the marathon because I actually think that I'm stable human being.
Smart.
Exactly. But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 12th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarEsiason.com or JuliaRay.com. And now you can subscribe to us on iTunes and also follow us on Instagram. Julia runs a great Instagram account. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us emails to gunnersblog@esiason.org. Or Julia's email, which is just about as original as her brother's gym name. I see that obviously runs in the family. Julia's email address is?
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
Okay, so hit me up. The family is born in originality. I can tell you that much. And then you can always send us a message on Facebook. We love talking to people who message us on Facebook, interact with us. And so thanks for joining us. It's Gunnar Esiason signing off.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Thanks, Will, for coming on. And I hope you all gained some new, fresh perspective from my brother. And keep pushing your limit.